This episode is brought to you by our friends at Brooks Blooms, your all-in-one landscaping solution.
Brooks Blooms' three-step landscaping experience offers a seamless journey from design to construction and ongoing care, ensuring your outdoor space thrives year-round.
Visit brooksblooms.com today to embark on your landscaping journey, where every step is a step towards a vibrant and beautiful outdoor entertaining space.
G'day everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Ads and Dunks podcast, exclusively brought to you by the Oz American Aces. It's Dunks here. We don't really introduce ourselves as Ads and Dunks, do we, Adsy? I've got Ads on the line, obviously my best mate in Melbourne.
No, we don't. Thanks again for having me. It's nice to be back on the show. But no, we actually don't. We don't usually do that. But I like our little intros. I like how we swap it every week. I like to think our fans out there know that we're actually rotating it every week and giving each other a go at it. And you know what? Maybe put a poll up, see who intros better.
Who intro? I reckon most people would say you, because you know you really get right into it, and I'm more of a streamlined kind of guy. You know, you're a bit out there.
Yeah, well, I think there should be a petition for you to really, really get into it and show a bit of your internal character that we may not be seeing right now, because I have seen it. Seen it a couple times when you've been on the beers. I've seen it a couple times when you've seen some of your horses win down the straight. So maybe get up and about for the podcast.
Oh, I get up and about for it. It's just sometimes, you know, when you're doing introductions, I lose track of what I might be saying, or, you know, just having a bit of fun. So for me, it's more about the concentration and nailing those intros.
Well, mate, lucky we don't do a live podcast, although that would be pretty sick doing a live podcast. I'd love to do that.
I honestly thought about this today after we spoke on the phone. I was like, why don't we, like, not many people out there go live on their podcast. Like, so for example, if we were live right now and then we could see like live comments and stuff pop up, that'd be pretty cool. And then we could answer, you know, if we're talking and then all of a sudden something pops up that you like, you're like, oh, so-and-so said this, like, what do you think?
Let's do it, mate. I can play my 2K here because, as we all know, my my screen's here and I can play a bit of 2K whilst talking a bit of shit with you.
And other people that could get involved. But before we get into it tonight, we've got a big announcement. We're giving away two tickets. So thanks to our friends at Brooks Blooms. Brooke has kindly thrown out there that there's two tickets to the veranda to our sellout game, or my sellout game, this Thursday night against the Pies. So we're going to do a giveaway. All you've got to do is share the pod, tag us in. So myself, Ads, Oz American Aces, and Brooks Blooms. By midnight tomorrow night, it's Tuesday right now for us. So midnight on Wednesday night, and then the winner will be announced 11 a.m. Thursday. So Instagram, share the pod, tag us in before midnight, and then the winner will be announced on Thursday at 11 a.m. So make sure you get out there and get around us, because it's two tickets to give away. Obviously, it's going to be someone in Brisbane, because there's a lot of people that probably won't be able to make it from Melbourne or wherever they come from, but we're giving away two tickets thanks to our friends at Brooks Blooms.
Yeah, Brooke, you're a star. That is going to be a blockbuster of a game, so you don't want to miss out, as you just said. Make sure you do everything, Josh, you just said, because what a game to see. I mean, we'll touch on the game a bit later. I cannot wait to preview that one. But you actually went to the veranda launch on the Saturday, didn't you?
I did, Saturday night. It was pretty cool. Brooke goes all out as always and made it a pretty special showing. She had the fireworks on the Gabba and
I've seen that.
Everything was going off. Yeah, it was pretty cool. So there was a lot of people there. A couple of boys from the club went. Lockie was there with his partner Jules, Zach Bailey, Cam Rayner, and all her staff and all their friends as well. So it was a pretty special opening for her and the team, and awesome to see on the other side of the fence.
I was a little bit jealous. I was in cold old Ballarat. I think it was a nice, cool 6 degrees preparing for a game on the Sunday. Whilst I was seeing you put up socials and Brooke put up some socials and our boy Herb put up some socials of the fireworks happening at the Gabba whilst here, I was cuddled up into bed because I was absolutely freezing. But it ended up being a really good weekend for both of us. But before we talk footy, how was your week anyway? What did you get up to? Obviously, you didn't play. No doubt you would have watched a bit of footy and done a bit of training and whatnot. But outside of that, what did you get up to?
Not a lot, mate, to be honest. Tipper wasn't here and the girls had we can talk about netball. They had a pre-season tournament in Sydney. So I think it's called the Team Girls Cup. And so they were away for 5 nights. So I was actually here with the two dogs. Obviously, I had Archie for quite some time, but got Herbie, who's a full-time job at the moment for me. looking after him. So I didn't do much else other than look after those two, clean up the house, cook some food, just hang out, really. What about you?
Sounds like the life, mate. Sounds like fun. What you need to do is get into a bit of NBA 2K and start playing with him. Maybe we can stream as well.
Well, I'm not a gamer, mate. You know that I'm not a gamer.
I know that, but you can change. You know what, mate? You can change. Just do it.
I did change a little bit during COVID with Fortnite and stuff, but 2K, no good.
My week was good, other than obviously playing footy. We had the Sunday early game, so I've seen a lot of the footy. There's not really much you can do on the weekend when you're playing on the Sunday, but I was able to watch a bit of footy, which was good. I haven't watched the first two rounds. So round zero, what's it called again? Round zero? Was it round zero? Yeah, round zero, round one. So I was able to watch a little bit on the weekend, which was nice. But other than that, I watched a bit of the races on Saturday, watched a couple of the gun horses run around. Didn't do too much. The weather's been nice here, which is good because Melbourne's really hanging on to the heat and the sun at the moment. I feel like it's really starting to change at the moment and, just trying to lap up all the sun that we can get. But other than that, mate, did not do much other than play.
Well, it's interesting you talk about weather because up here the last few days it has been just raining consistently. Like the whole backyard starting to be like a bit of a swamp again. It's crazy.
I did see that. I seen that. I swear Brisbane goes through stages where like it'll just be sunny and beautiful for a long time and then it'll just have a week's worth of just torrential rain and it'd be absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's probably a good thing for the garden. Actually, that's one thing I didn't talk about that I did last week was I made basil pesto from all the basil that Brooke put in my garden.
Ooh.
There's heaps of it. So I went to the shops and got this. Well, I had this recipe on the Thermomix that I got and it was like I think it was a walnut or it might have been a macadamia pesto, basil pesto. So I did that and made like heaps of jars and put it all in the fridge and I'm going to give a few away to some friends. So that was something I did actually.
Oh, you would have nailed that. Actually, something I did as well is – you can't see it from the camera, but my keyboard's over there. So I know last week off air I was playing a bit of keyboard and I've spent probably 2 hours every day practicing. So self-taught, trying to teach myself how to play keyboard and it's quite funny because I feel like I'm good, but then I listen back to myself and I absolutely suck. So so I'm trying. Sometimes I get on the FaceTime with Kimmy and Georgie and I'm trying to learn a couple songs for Georgie to play for her. But, yeah, that's actually what I did in the last week, played a bit of keyboard.
You know what? I might post that video that you sent me that was just hilarious. You said show tip of this. What was it? What song was it?
See, that is why. I tell you what we need to bring back is you and your celebrity – cluelessness because you got no idea. The song was My Heart Will Go On from Titanic. Everyone knows that song. Granted, probably didn't sound like that, didn't play that well, but I tried and I played the 4 minute song and I sent it to Josh and Tipper. Yeah. And apparently they said it was the funniest thing. Could have been your bloom of the week, mate.
Oh, I should have actually mentioned that. That would have been hilarious. And I can send the whole clip to Brado and get him to clip it up for us.
Nah, hang on. I'll do a proper one. I'll do my best that I can and then I'll send it through to you. And then, yeah, we'll see whether we post it or not because that's not getting anywhere at the moment. But we'll move on. We'll move on from that because that is a work in progress. Footy, what was your – there's been a couple big stories throughout the weekend. I love bringing up, I guess, controversial stuff because I know you're the controversial one out of the both of us.
That's all we're here to do, mate.
On the Thursday night, was it? The Essendon Sydney game? Might have been the Friday. There was an incident with Peter Wright. I just want to know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I have seen that he's got 4 weeks minutes ago. So, yeah, my thoughts on that are I feel like if you're in that position now, you just have to go for the ball. You can't protect yourself. So he's obviously gone to protect himself at the last second, collected Cunningham. He's knocked out. So that it probably makes sense that he's got a four-week ban. I've seen a lot of things. I saw actually Wayne Carey's podcast that he's been doing and him saying that, you know, if he gets more than a week or if he gets rubbed out at all, the game's cooked. But if that's what we're standing for, then that's the rule. And so that's how it is. Like that, to me, it makes sense. But I kind of wish that it wasn't like that, but it is these days, and that's how the game is now, and we just got to deal with it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. I think the safety and the priority of the, I guess, the player that's involved that ends up getting hurt is, yeah, should be the priority, and that's clearly what we've been, that's clearly what we've been trying to stamp out for a few years now. So, yeah, I think I think when the incident happened, it was like, oh yeah, that's not a good one, and. Yeah, there was a couple of, a couple little incidents in that game. It was a feisty game, the Essendon-Sydney game. They came with a bit of a spice to their game, and clearly wanted to bring the physical side. And Sydney obviously showed that they were way too good. Well, not way too good, but clearly too good in the end, and one of the benchmark teams. But yeah, that was that was a pretty crazy moment.
Yeah, I think on that, if he continues to run through like taking a chest. Like his hands are out in front. If he runs through that contest and Cunningham still gets knocked out, but the ball, he's still watching the ball, I think that's play on. Mm. Like it's literally just the turn of the body. That's all it is because it looks like he's going to try and bump him. So if it's just a straight on contest, maybe it might hurt him a bit more. But if you don't want to get rubbed out, I think that's what you got to do.
Yeah, and I think the eyes as well. I think the eyes kind of darted a little bit towards Cunningham and. Yep. Obviously, when you watch that back, you know that as soon as that, obviously, you see that in slow-mo, then that's probably going to be another issue that you're going to have to deal with. So, yeah, obviously, thoughts are always with the player that ends up getting hurt. And we actually had Ed Richards, similar kind of incident in our game where there was just two boys going at the ball as hard as they can. And unfortunately, he came off, not well and obviously had to get subbed out. So, you're right. I couldn't agree more with you. I think if that's the path that we're going down, the players obviously need to know that. And that little, the way that you described that was good. Well done. Maybe you need to stand up and do a demo. Yeah, maybe we need to make a YouTube channel where you can adjust to the current rules nowadays and see how players can adjust to it. But, yeah, that was an interesting one. Anything catch your eye footy-wise on the weekend?
Oh, well, from that game, I just wanted to bring this up because we've both played with this guy. Did you see Big Travi Cloak in the scuffles?
Yeah. I did.
We should talk about that because that was pretty – it was unreal. I loved seeing him in there, like, ripping his boys out. Like, get out, boys. Well, he still looks so big.
Yeah, I think, he didn't touch any Sydney player. He was
– No.
He was just ripping his boys out, which was good. Like, I thought that was good.
I thought it was awesome to see, but I actually think they've got him in trouble for it.
I think he's been issued a warning for it. But I remember watching it and I had to second look. I was like, hang on a minute, is that Travis Cloak? What's he doing? And then obviously he sorted it out. But no, I actually didn't mind it. Actually, what about the streaker in the Adelaide Geelong game?
Oh yeah. I don't know. I don't like it, but I kind of liked how the boys helped the security guards get
that's
him
what,
in the end.
That's what I was getting to. If you're so the first player that he kind of was within striking distance who actually realized was Matty Crouch. And I felt like Crouchy committed to it, kind of tripped him up and then was like, oh, the security guards will take care of it. But then he somehow got away again. And I love the fact I loved it to the point where I was actually going to make it the bloom of the week. Ben Keyes is he's semi tackle on the streaker, but I would love to think that if you're in that situation or I was in that situation, you would absolutely nail the tackle on that bloke because that just it's just frustrating, mate. It's just like I don't know why these people do it. Like seriously, save your money, man. Like friggin', what the heck are you doing?
I agree, and I've seen some big hits on some of those guys. So if you don't want to get, well, you might want to get out there, but if you don't want to get hit, well, don't go out there because some boys might line you up.
Do you remember the Andrew Simons run when he, I think it was a big hip and shoulder and absolutely nailed him. Andrew Simons, what a legend, mate. What an absolute legend. Random question, but him and Mark Hussey, my two favorite cricketers of all time. Who's your favorite cricketer of all time?
All time. Oh, it's hard to go past Ricky Ponting or Matty Hayden. Matty Hayden was one. Adam Gilchrist. I remember watching Gilly break that record that day. That was pretty cool.
The quickest century.
That was unbelievable. I remember sitting at the farm, our house at the in Yarra, where mum and dad still are now. were sitting in that same lounge room, Pandas, where he's got his recliner, and we're all sitting there watching Gilly just go to town. It was unbelievable. I love cricket, mate. Love cricket.
Me too, mate. I love playing cricket. But we'll move on from cricket. We're getting a little bit lost with our cricket. I might as well talk about my game. I mean, you didn't play, so I guess we'll just chat about my game and what a great weekend it was for the Western Bulldogs Footy Club. It was the first round for the VFL as well. So eight points across the board. We had a really good win in the VFL, and there's been a million questions about Jacko McRae, who absolutely dominated in the VFL, which was just funny to watch. When you watch a player who's clearly a class above, it's quite funny. He dominated in the VFL. But our AFL boys, the game itself was very pleasing, very, very pumped that we were able to play the way that we spoke about and the way that we've wanted to play, you know, from the get-go, really. I felt like we prepared really well into this game, and we looked at areas that we needed to improve on clearly, but we honed in on the areas that we know that we're good at, and what we've done pretty much all preseason. And then in the two community games where we played against Hawthorn, we were able to be strong in the contest and really build off the back of our contest work. And I felt like we did that from the get-go against Gold Coast. We know that they're a very good contested ball side, and you know, they've got a class midfield. That's probably where it's led, with Raoul and Anderson and Miller and even Flanders through there. And the fact that we were able to start well and score heavily in the first quarter, and then probably what was most pleasing, the fact that after that they did come at us in periods. And last week against Melbourne, we let ourselves down a little bit, where we obviously played good in patches, but then they ultimately ran away with it. Gold Coast were really coming at us, but the fact that we were able to, I guess, rectify some moments and then, you know, kick a goal, but then be able to pile on a couple more goals, that was probably the most pleasing thing. So super pumped that the boys were able to get the job done.
Yeah, did you find you played against your favourite player, like you said last week? How'd you go nullifying his impact? I don't think he had anywhere near the kind of game that he had the week before or the week before that.
Firstly, we didn't play against the Brisbane Lions, if you're saying I'm playing against my favourite player. Because Lachie Neale's my favourite. No, you're my favourite. obviously, Rowley was, we've spoken about, I've spoken about how I love watching him and how good of a season he's already had. His first two games have been incredible. We clearly had a plan to try and combat him at stoppage, and Libba had that job, and felt like, you know, Libba did an unbelievable job. He's such a team-first mentality player who not only wins his own footy, but when he has a task, which he did against Rowley, he, you know, does a great job at it, which he did. So I felt like that really helped us, clearly, because he's there. Number one, the clearance player. And, if we were able to stop him, I felt like, and we did, that we were able to then get on top in there. And as I've said historically on our potty and even just in general interviews, a lot of our games where we've won or lost is dictated by how our midfield goes. And, felt like it was a really, really good performance by the boys. I felt like Sando, obviously, got a little bit more exposure, played obviously the full game, but had a really big, big impact. I loved Caleb Daniels' game, where he came in and he's kind of missed the fix-it for us, who plays a bit of everywhere. You obviously know the quality player that he is, but, you know, he kind of played it everywhere for us and just played a tremendous game for us. So, yeah, extremely pumped that we were able to do that.
Yeah, and I didn't get to see all of it, but looked like it would have been a pretty impressive performance by you boys down in Ballarat, which we always I used to love going down there, but everyone loves going down there, I know, at the Doggies. So, like you said, it might have been a little bit chilly, but, good to get the win. Hey, I want to ask you just about Nader, because I know a lot of people want to know about him.
Mm-hmm.
How's he been around the club? Still that vibrant guy that we know, or has he been a bit disappointed in missing out? Like, how's he been?
No, he's been great. Been great. You would not even know that, you know, he hasn't obviously been playing in the ones. His approach and his mentality has been, incredible. He's, clearly went out there and played in a VFL game, which I can't imagine he's played too many VFL games. And I think his performance speaks volumes of where his head's at and, just how he knows it's kind of bigger than, you know, it's not just about Nader, and obviously the big picture is the team, and he's going to clearly come in, and when he comes in, he's going to be the same you know, Jacko McRae that we've known for 12 to 13 years, the one that is tough and, you know, just the gun of the competition. And, you know, when he comes in, he's going to be that same player. So the fact that he's, you know, went back and played at VFL level and his mentality didn't change. His leadership stayed the same. He really helped out our younger guys. Riley Garcia had a really, really, really good game in the VFL and Nader helped him out enormously, helped out a lot of the VFL mids who obviously would be pinching themselves that they're playing with a guy like Jacko McRae. So, you know, it's great to see the way he is around the boys and still, you know, getting up and about for the boys winning and just being a great team man. So, as I said, no doubt he'll be in sooner rather than later when he is. Can't wait to see what he produces because he's going to have a hunger and a desire to, perform well.
Is that a chance to happen this week, you reckon?
Honestly, mate, I couldn't tell you. I could not tell you.
Can't give us an inside scoop.
I don't sit in the match committee meetings, mate. I don't talk that. All I know is that if he plays, he's going to be a great contributor for us and he'll play great. I know he will because he's ready to rock and roll. So we'll see. I can let you know come – when does the team get announced? Friday. So you would have already played your game by then. Speaking of your game, we may as well preview your game.
All right, let's do it.
Absolute blockbuster of a game. Brisbane v Collingwood. And as you said earlier, we've got that giveaway, so make sure you've listened earlier to the potty. Both teams winless, which is pretty crazy to think, considering you're both with the two best teams last year. And, you know, on paper, you know, people would have said that you're probably both undefeated going into this game. So, yeah, just talk us how you're feeling. You obviously would have watched them last week. You know that there's a lot of pressure on them. There's a bit of pressure on you guys as well. You guys don't want to you don't want to go 0-3. Now Collingwood to go 0-4. So, mate, let us know how you're feeling.
Firstly, I think the thing that sort of it doesn't frustrate you, but it's sort of just I don't know, blows my mind to think that you know I saw something like I think one of the commentators or one of the media personalities out there saying that Collingwood can't win the flag from here. Like they're 0-3, they can't rubbish. Win the flag. Like that's just that stuff blows me away. Like they could go on and win every game for the rest of the year and win the flag. Like it just writing people off at this time of year is just outrageous in my opinion. So that's just one thing I wanted to say before I get into it. But yeah, you're right. It's a big game for both of us. Obviously neither of us have found the form that we'd like. It's going to be a cracking contest. I feel both are going to be really hungry for the contest and want to hunt the ball and win the ball and get it going forward because ultimately that's how you kick goals. But for us, it's just about doing the basics well. And, we've seen glimpses of it over the past couple of weeks. Probably haven't seen that four-quarter performance that we've been after. So that's really going to be a focus for us heading into the game. And hopefully we can see those consistent behaviors that are going to help us win each contest and then, you know, get the ball forward and kick goals. So it sounds pretty simple, but that's how we're approaching it this week is very simple, you know, narrow focus and trying to get that win.
Yeah. Do you use any extra motivation for the obviously grand final loss that you had? You know, no doubt you guys would have at the start of the fixture being announced, penciled in the game that you play against Collingwood, which we all know every year it's the Easter weekend. Is there a little bit of extra motivation for you guys to, you know, not only kickstart your 2024 campaign, but to, you know, beat the team that ended up beating you in the grand final last year?
Yeah, for sure. I think Collingwood Brisbane have always had that kind of competitive rivalry, you could call it, throughout the years, and it's just getting bigger and bigger now because of the games that we've played against each other, whether it's been top of the table or second v third or third v fourth or whatever it might be, and now obviously the grand final. So there is a little bit of extra motivation there for us, I feel, losing to them on, you know, the biggest day ever in, you know, some people's careers. So losing that game is definitely going to hopefully hold us in good stead heading into it because I feel, you know, that the hurt that you feel after that game is just, yeah, it's nearly the worst day of your life. Well, probably is the worst day of your life. So, hopefully we can be on the other side of that this Thursday night.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to watch. Is where do you – so I personally believe obviously they're going to come and, you know, come with a hunger and a want and clearly going to be strong around the contest, which is, you know, here in Melbourne, you read the paper, and as you said, it's absolutely blows my mind that there's commentators out there writing Collingwood off when we know how good their footy is and still right up there as the best team in the competition. But one of the areas that they've been questioned in early by the media is the contest side. Do you firstly fully expect them to come and, I guess, try and over-exaggerate the contest and just really want to win the ball? And secondly, how are you going to, I guess, rectify that? Will you guys change anything that you've been doing because you obviously haven't won any games, or will there be a clear plan or whatever it may be? What's your thoughts on that?
I do think they're going to come with an over-exaggeration approach of winning the contest for sure. Yeah, because that's where they're being challenged and that's what they'll all be talking about. So, and we're probably similar, to be honest. Like, we haven't won the contest the last 2 weeks. Carlton beat us up and so did Freo. So that's going to be a big battle, is that, you know, the centre bounce, the stoppages around the ground, but it's contested ball as a whole, not just midfielders. It's contested ball around the ground, you know, contests, wins v, you know, backs on forwards or forwards on backs. It's not just when you look at the contested ball number, I feel everyone can get stuck into thinking it's just the mids, but it's not. It might be majority midfielders, but a lot of the time it's a contest as well. So for me, it's the contested ball number at the end of the night. I feel like whoever's in the green for that will have won the game, because they would have won more contests on the night, and it's going to be it's going to go a long way to that team scoring. So in my opinion, that's what I think, and I feel like as a group, that's what we'll be looking to bring on Thursday night.
Couldn't agree more with you, mate. I think you nailed that, and I also feel like both teams will be a little bit more, I guess, attacking with the way they want to move the footy, because that's another area where I think, you know, both yous would probably want to get better at. I mean, Collingwood, obviously, when they get the ball free-flowing, similar to you guys, they're a very, very hard team to stop. So cannot wait to watch. As we said earlier, make sure you listen to the potty earlier, because there's 2 free tickets that we're going to be giving away to this absolute ripper of a game. I'll be watching at home on TV, so I can't wait. Round ahead, I wanted to quickly touch on, I love talking about milestone players who've been around for a long time, and like, got to give a bit of love to Travis Boak. He played his 350th on the weekend, which I don't even know how many players have played 350. No doubt Brad will say it in my head at some point, but I reckon there's about 20 maybe. The fact that he's played 350 and had the career that he's had, he's someone I've always looked up to because of the way that he prepares and performs week in, week out, and he still performs at a high level and looks after his body really well and hasn't really lost much of his speed and his power. So, firstly, a bit of love from the Ads and Dunks podcast for Boakey. Hopefully he watches. That'd be great. But this week as well, Tom Hawkins, 350th and the 24th player to play his 350th, which I want to give a bit of love to that as well, because, again, he's when he hit the age of 30, he just got better, better, better and better. And, you know, been an All-Australian player multiple times in his 30s, has won a premiership in his 30s, probably won a Coleman medal, I'm not too sure, but he's just had an incredible career and it's been a joy to play against, sometimes a bit of a pain in the ass because he's kicked the bag on us and that's just been frustrating, but absolute superstar of the competition. And as I said, I want the Ads and Dunks boys to give those two a bit of love.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, mate. Boakey's been one that I've looked up to as well. You know, getting saunas and all that kind of stuff has been probably inspiration from him. So it's a incredible milestone for both of those guys. And we obviously, Trav's played his last week, but wish the Tomahawk all the best in his 350th on Easter Monday, I think it is, isn't it? Remember all those Easter Monday clashes that used to be like big blockbusters? Unbelievable,
you know what?
Games.
It still is. I mean, you know, granted, Hawthorn haven't kind of been at that level they have been at when they were playing those games, but it's still a massive build-up here and one of the games on the calendars that we all look forward to. That kind of leads me into something that I want to do weekly for us. I want you and I to do it weekly. It doesn't have to be long. I just want to – you come up with a player and I'll come up with a player where we talk about a player and we show them a bit of love. It could be an absolute superstar of the game or could be someone that no one's talking about where you feel like – they should be spoken about because of maybe how they're playing, what they've been doing, their performances. So it's something that I want us to do. I want to give a bit of love to some players. I'll start whilst you think right now, because I know I've just put you on the spot. I'm going to start with a big name player. Well, I think he's a big name player. He's clearly big in Sydney. And I'm going to start with Isaac Heaney. And the reason why I'm going to start with Isaac Heaney is because he's clearly played, you know, he's probably the best player in the competition at the moment for what he's been able to do around the ball and up forward. And the fact that you can play forward and I guess easy to come in and, you know, have an impact here and there when you're, I guess, just a occasional centre bounce player, midfield player. But the fact that he spent majority of his preseason, from all reports, playing midfield, and he's come in and literally ripped up every single game to the point where he's probably got 9 from 9 Brownlow votes. I think it's incredible and it's a joy to watch. I love watching him play. He's turning into one of my favorite players to watch. His ability to win around the ball and then go forward and impact still the same way that he's done for 6-7 years. It's been a joy to watch. So he's the player that I'm giving a bit of love to this week.
That's a good shout. And while you've been talking, I've been thinking, and mine is a St Kilda player, Marcus Windhager.
His game
last week and or the first couple of weeks have been underrated. Like, a lot of people talk about the Steels, you know, the Royal Marshals, the Kings, like they talk about all those players, but they don't talk about this bloke. This guy's he's been known to be a tagger, and I reckon he's been released off the shackles a little bit, and he's playing really good footy. So he would be mine right now.
Mate, that is huge. I watched that Thursday, Friday night game, whatever day it was. And he really stood out to me. His power and explosiveness around the ball, I had to be like, oh, wow, actually, you know, because as you said, he's been a tagger from what we've seen. Didn't realize he had that, you know, in his game. And to see that was, unreal. I like it, mate. And for our fans that are listening, send through yours on any of our social channels and let us know what you think, because we'll read a couple out, because I like giving a bit of love to some of our players. But I think it's a good one from you this week. Well done, mate.
Thanks, mate. Likewise, I do think Isaac Heaney's been dominating too, so it's another good one to talk about. Moving on, anything else from footy before we move on?
I'm just one other thing. I'm just really looking forward to the Port Adelaide Melbourne game. I'm really, really keen to see two really good informed teams. I feel like Melbourne playing Adelaide really well. I'm really looking forward to watching that game.
Oh, we haven't even talked about your game yet. Actually, Sunday against the Eagles.
Yes, we're playing the Eagles. That's right. We're playing at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock at Marvel.
Give us a little wrap up of how you're feeling for that, and taking your form from Ballarat. It's going to be a hostile environment for the Eagles, some would say.
Yeah, well, I'm interested to see if they open the roof for this game, because it's 1 o'clock game and there's no scheduled rain. There's no rain, so I think the roof's going to be open, which usually you know what you're going to get at Marvel. So might have a bit of conditions, but regardless, I'm really looking forward to it. I felt like we kickstarted our season this previous Sunday, and it's just another good opportunity for us to play the way we want to play. We know that the Eagles, albeit they haven't won their first two games, they've had some really good periods in the game, like played some really impressive footy. And as I said, I watched a lot of footy this weekend, and I watched, a bit of their game and watched their last quarter in particular, and they were still really, ballsy with taking the game on and really taking it up to the Giants. And, was really impressed with some of their players. So fully expecting them to come over here and approach us like that. And, it wasn't too long ago where they beat us in round 23 last year to ultimately, stop us from making the finals, which was a very disappointing day for us. So we know what they're capable of, and really looking forward to looking forward to the game and being our first Marvel game. Love playing at Marvel. We get a lot of fans turn out to those games. So really looking forward to it. And what's extra special for me is Georgie and Kim are down on Friday. So cannot wait to have the girls at the game and have them cheering. And we got an Easter egg hunt on the Saturday at the footy club. So I can't wait to take Georgie, and no doubt she'll be as extroverted as anything and be pinching eggs off everyone and trying to win everything, because she's competitive like her dad and her mum. So, really looking forward to that. Looking forward to the game.
Hey, just before we move on, does the loss last time to them, does it stick in your mind? Like, out there, do you reckon you'll be thinking, is it more motivation or is it more shit, last time these guys got us, so we need to be on our game? Good little reminder.
Well, it's just, that's it. It's a good little reminder. We know there's no mate, you give any team a sniff, they're going to, like, they'll take it and run. And they did that last year. And we know if we do that this week, they'll do it again. And as I said, they've played some really, really good footy. Their midfield is really impressive. Tim Kelly, Elliot Yeo, I think's back to his powerful best. He showed great signs last week. They've got, obviously, Harley Reid, which will be exciting to play against. Obviously, he's you know, highly rated and highly touted and has had a really good start. So, yeah, it's definitely something that, you know, we want to go out there and just play our best footy. And we know that if we do that, hopefully the scoreboard takes care of itself. So looking forward to it, mate. Cannot wait for the game.
Nah, all the best, mate, as always. So Sunday I'll be able to watch that one. So I'll be glued to the screen watching you hopefully dominate like you normally do anyway. Yeah, look That's forward to it, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Moving on. Let's talk about, just before we go into our favourite segment of the week, I want to talk about the F1. You missed it. Carlos Sainz come from Ferrari and took it out. Big Maxi had the brake failure.
I was going to say, so does that – well, firstly, you would have been really jealous because I know you love your F1 and whenever – well, you've probably gone to the last, what, five or six Albert Park F1s, have you? Have you?
Yeah, I reckon I would have been to the last, maybe four. I didn't go last year either, though, because I was. Oh, no, I did go last year.
You did.
Yeah,
I did. You did, because you and I played against each other, and then you stayed at my house and you went to the thing.
That's right. I did go. Yeah, well, there you go. Probably 4 or 5 years. So I was a bit flat, but I had the opportunity to come down, but I didn't come because of obviously we're playing Thursday night. So it's a quick turnaround for, you know, Sunday to. And we just come back from Perth. So it was a bit of a. It was a bit too much in the end. So I just made the smart decision and stayed up here and had a low-key weekend, like I said earlier. So it was nice to see someone else win, though. I feel like Red Bull, I remember seeing they're so dominant, and then to have someone else win. So Carlos, and I think he was a bit crook too leading up to it. So he was lucky to get out, and he was actually nearly going to be my bloom of the week, but I've got another one.
It's always really cool. You don't realize how big the F1 is until it's here in Australia, and you see the amount of fans that are, you know, out and about. And even when I was driving home, I went out for dinner. So I drove back from Ballarat after the game, went out for dinner in St. Kilda, and there's so many F1 fans walking around. Clearly the event's done, but you see them all, you know, on the beers still at the pub or whatever, and they're all out for dinner. They've got their Ferrari hats and McLaren jackets and all this stuff. It's really cool. It's really cool because that's on my drive home as well, going past Albert Park. And yeah, it's actually, you can hear the noise. Like I remember when I left my house on the Saturday in the Arvo, I could actually hear, and I'm obviously in, you know, how many Ks away am I from Albert Park? I don't know how many that is, but I'm about 20 Ks away. And you could actually hear it from there, which is actually really cool. Didn't our Aussie boy, what's his, Piastri?
Oscar,
how do you say
Oscar
it?
Piastri.
Came fourth, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did.
It's good. That's good. I still need to watch the Drive to Survive. I mean, that'll probably get me into it a little bit. But I actually did want to touch on, before our blooms of the week, a little bit on the netball. There was, you know, we haven't talked about a netball at all, I don't think. And the season's not too far away. We had our girls go up and play in the, what's it called? Is it equivalent to like the NAB Cup, kind of, the old school NAB Cup in a way?
Yeah, I think it's called Team Girls Cup. Or like the, yeah, that one, Team Girls Cup.
Yeah, so our girls went up there and obviously played over in Sydney, which was, it was cool to watch a bit of netball being back. And you and I had a chat on the phone, and us being the pros and the experts that we are, we were dissecting the team and talking about the opportunities going forward. Feel like we're, you know, I feel like we can be quite achievers to the point where we can hopefully contend come to the pointy end of the season.
I agree, and we talked about this today, but I feel, you know, sometimes when the expectation's not there, you can just fly under the radar and knock a few teams off here and there, some of the favourites or whatever it might be. And, yeah, come the pointy end, like you said, just time it really well. And then I feel like that's what Adelaide did last year, to be honest. Like that's how they won in the end. They were playing their best netball right at the end of the season, and they knocked off, you know, arguably the better teams throughout the season. So I feel like our girls are hopefully a little sniff.
Can't wait for our weekly netball chat. I cannot wait. So we may as well move into the bloom of the week. You've said you've got yours first.
Yep, I've got one this week. So a couple of our boys, and I've gone to footy again, but it's something that I thought I should give a bit of a shout out. So Jimmy Madden and Dara Joyce, a couple of our Irish lads from the club, shaved their heads yesterday for the world's greatest shave, and I just wanted to give them a bit of a shout out and pump up for doing that. And obviously we all know the world's greatest shave and the charity and the organisation that that is. So such a great gesture by those two lads. And, yeah, just wanted to give them a bit of a shout out, like I said.
Very nice of you, mate. That is, yeah, that's – I love when we have – we've had players in our team do that as well, which is really cool. There's a lot of guys that obviously love their hair, and the fact that they can do that is awesome. I love it, mate. Well done. My Brooks Bloom of the week. I gone down the horse racing pathway. I you know, the beauty of playing on Sundays is you could actually watch the Saturday races, and we're smack bang in the middle of the autumn carnival, and there's been some ripping Group One races. But I want to shout out this beautiful horse. Her name is Imperatriz. I know you know who Imperatriz is. She's been thrown in a couple of my multis, and she's really helped me win. So thank you, Imperatriz. But she just raced on the weekend in what was the stakes? It was called the William Reid Stakes, which is another Group One, and she won her 10th Group One just on the weekend, which is incredible. I mean, it's incredible for horses to do that, to win one Group One, let alone 10. So praying to God that when our boy Lordship starts running soon, which is obviously mine and your horse that we have a little share in, that he can win some big races for us. But yeah, my Brooks Bloom of the week is Imperatriz.
I like it. And while we're talking about horses, one of our we weren't part owners in it, but a horse that we really loved actually is a bit crook at the moment, Gold Trip. So we want to send our thoughts to Goldie, because he's been a great horse of ours over the journey, and we've always checked in on him. I know a couple of the owners that I always keep in touch with, but yeah, it's just obviously a sad time for Goldie, and hopefully, you know, all things are going okay.
Me too. I love a little horse chats.
All right, well, there you have it, guys. There's our Brooks Bloom of the week. Let us know your thoughts, as always. We love having a bit of a laugh about it, but in all seriousness, it's thanks to Brooke and the team for looking after us and supporting us through our journey of the podcast world. So, yeah, Hadzie, anything else you want to talk about before we finish things up?
Yeah, well, we haven't addressed our tipping competition. Not that I think we forgot to do our tips last week.
I think we did, yeah. But let's go through it. We might as well before we go.
I think I'll just say I'm in front because I was in front. We'll just brush over them. Brisbane Collingwood, I think Brisbane. You think Brisbane. North Melbourne Carlton.
Carlton.
Carlton. Fremantle versus Adelaide.
The Dockers, I think, are in good form and played against them a couple of weeks ago, so I feel like they are. Luke Jackson, he's going really well at the moment. He's probably been a bit underrated for my liking.
Yes, I agree. Could be a bit of love next week for him on our new little segment. Essendon St Kilda.
The Saints for me at Marvel.
I think St Kilda too. Port Adelaide, Melbourne.
Oh, good game. Oh, the D's always play well over there. I'm going to say Port home game, Adelaide Oval.
I'm going to say Port as well. Bulldogs, Eagles. Bulldogs for me, obviously.
Might go the Eagles this one. Nah, I'm joking.
No, you're not. You're not joking.
I'm joking. I'm tipping the doggies.
Richmond, Sydney. Do you still know how to sing the Western Bulldogs theme song, or have you forgotten it?
Yeah. I actually saw the clip on Instagram of you singing the song. I want you, you know how you're talking about a bit more gusto on the podcast. Well, I want you to sing the song with a bit more gusto, because I saw the clip of you and all I was watching was you, and you were just, Sons of the West. Come on, give us a bit.
What angle, how do you, Sons of the West. yeah, that's the most I'm going to give it. Richmond, Sydney, in Melbourne.
Swans. Yeah, Swans at the G. I feel like they played there a couple of weeks ago against the Pies and played really well. So they'll continue their winning streak.
Okay, I'm going to go Richmond in that one.
Oh.
Just going to go against you. That's the only reason why I'm doing it. And Hawthorn versus Geelong, the MCG for the Easter Monday game.
I think the Catters will be too good there.
I am going to go Hawthorn. So there's two that I'm going against up. And I actually think Hawthorn will win that game. I think they play the Easter Monday games good, and they play a good brand of footy. So I'm going to go them. Hey, actually, I wanted to remember last week that lovely lady, that fan of ours, who very rudely, we forgot her name and we actually didn't say her name. Her name is Carla. Yes. Bit of love to Carla. She's the lady that lives over in WA who, when we go over there, she had obviously, what she had for you? Was it an Ads and Dunks T-shirt or something?
It was a T-shirt, a white T-shirt with you and me on the front. Mm. And and I spotted it in the crowd at our captain's run. So I just wanted to make sure that we gave her some love, and we're actually sending her some of our signed Ads and Dunks gear. So we look forward to seeing some photos of her in that. Or next time we're over in Perth, we'll see her in it.
That we are. So Carla, sorry we didn't. We were calling you, you know, she, and we're very rude of us. So thank you. Thank you so much for the support that you give us. You've been one of our loyal fans from the very get-go. So that's all for me, mate. That's all I wanted to nothing else really from my end.
Nah, I like it, mate. And don't forget, as we said off the top, the giveaway for this week's game, my game, the Lions versus the Pies on Thursday night. So all you got to do, simply share the pod on Instagram, tag us in before midnight. So that's me, Ads, Oz American Aces and Brooks Blooms before midnight Wednesday night, and the winner will be announced 11 a.m. Thursday. So we look forward to hopefully reaching out on Thursday, the day of the game, and we'll get you there on Thursday night. And it's brought to you by Brooks Blooms, and it's in the new veranda area that Brooke has set up. So very amazing spot. Got to witness it. So look forward to announcing that. But thanks again, Adzie. Thanks for another great potty, mate. It's been a ripping one, and we look forward to next week already.
Thank you, mate. Loved it. Loved every minute as always. Can't wait for next week. And good luck. Good luck. Go the Lions.
Go the Doggies.
This episode is brought to you by our friends at Brooks Blooms, your all-in-one landscaping solution.
Brooks Blooms' three-step landscaping experience offers a seamless journey from design to construction and ongoing care, ensuring your outdoor space thrives year-round.
Visit brooksblooms.com today to embark on your landscaping journey, where every step is a step towards a vibrant and beautiful outdoor entertaining space.